It's day two of Spring Share-a-thon, and it's Founders Day on American Family Radio. We're honoring Brother Don Wildman and his wife Linda for their faithful obedience to the Lord and their example to us.
God is more interested in our availability than He is in our ability.
Call now at 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396 to give. Or pledge online at afr.net. And feel free to make your pledge in honor of Brother Don and Linda Wildman for their more than 40 years of faithfulness. It's Founders Day on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. This program is called Today's Issues, but all AFR shows, we're in the middle of Share-a-thon. And we thank you for participating by calling and making your donation. Whether you did that yesterday or this morning, or you did that via the mail, or because we were supposed to have Share-a-thon last month, but we moved it a month. So many of you already sent in your pledges last month for this Share-a-thon. We thank you for that. Or if you went on afr.net, afr.net, you can go there and make a pledge as well. Right, Walker?
That's correct. afr.net takes about 2 to 3 minutes to make an online gift. afr.net.
And let me just say this too. We appreciate all gifts, but for budgeting purposes, it's helpful for us if you make a monthly gift to AFR. And you can do that via a credit card or a debit card, a bank draft, however you want to do it. But it helps us to plan if we know how much revenue we're going to have each month, and that's really made a difference for us the last 4 or 5 years.
We rely heavily on, a lot of folks do $15, $30, $50 a month. That's auto, it's recurring, and as you mentioned, that when you have thousands of donors doing that, that really adds up and helps us.
Yeah. Now, they can't use Discover Card, though.
Yeah, correct? Discover Card we're having problems with right now. It's not us, it's them. We're trying to resolve that, so we can't take Discover cards right now. But every other credit card, we can take.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Every other credit card, we can take. Well, Steve Jordahl joins us now.
Good morning, everybody.
How you doing, Steve?
Good, good. It's a great day here in Mississippi.
How'd you say that?
It's a great day here in Mississippi.
Okay. I just heard Mississippi.
Mississippi, yeah.
Mississippi.
Sometimes
a lot of times from people in Mississippi, that's all you hear.
I know.
It's a long word.
It is a long word, but I try not to correct people.
I tell you what, Louisiana usually comes out like that too for some reason.
Louisiana?
Yeah.
Abe's from Louisiana. Louisiana, it's actually, how do you say it in Louisiana? Louisiana?
Or I say Louisiana.
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 You're smarter than the rest of us, Abe, so that's probably
Louisiana.
Why.
Well, at least you're not from Illinois.
Or Chicago.
Chicago.
I was born in Oregon.
Oregon.
I was raised in New Hampshire.
It is funny listening to, like, talk show hosts on major network television, and even Shepard Smith had some funny ways, what I viewed as funny ways of pronouncing states and cities and things, and sometimes I wonder, like, have I had it wrong my whole life, or is he on national television getting it wrong?
I gave up a lot of Southerners. Well, you're right. This isn't only Southerners that do this. People from all over the country have unique ways of mispronouncing other places, or their own places. But a lot of Southerners will say, yeah. Bill, he had to drive to Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah. And drives them crazy.
You want to, huh? Drives me crazy. I want to say, where is the R?
Yes.
In Chicago.
Right.
And do you not know the S is silent in Illinois?
Right.
To which I've been told, when was it there in the first place? And I have no answer for that.
Good point.
I have no answer for that. Why did Illinois tack on the S if they didn't want us to say it?
Right.
You know, I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. All right, you're listening to Share-a-thon. If folks want to make a gift, and we don't care how they pronounce.
That's right.
Mississippi. We don't care.
Right.
You call us Mississippi or Tupelo or One Below.
And
whatever you want to say.
And we do want to make clear that this is a, even though our headquarters, our flagship station, is in Tupelo, Mississippi, we are a national radio network.
We're in Oregon.
In over
even.
30 states, 180-plus radio stations. And so when you give during our Bring an Awakening Share-a-thon, here, this is our spring share-a-thon, you are supporting a radio network that is reaching people in almost two-thirds of the states here in this country. And if you want to support that work, here's the number that you can call to give to our share-a-thon, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Bring an Awakening is our theme.
We got to have you, folks. We are a listener-supported Christian radio network. So I'm just saying, if we don't hear from you who listen and you make a donation, if you can, if you can't, keep listening. We understand. I mean, some people are out of work now. But if you can, we're counting on you because we got to have the support we need to be able to broadcast the network. That's what we're saying. All right, Steve, you got a question for Aiden?
I do. There's been a whole lot of talk around. In fact, everybody's talking about when we're going to get a vaccine for this coronavirus. Some people say it could be the fall or a year away or more. I have a quote. I was Alan Dershowitz, who's a top constitutional lawyer. He actually argued in favor of President Trump during the during the impeachment effort. But he is known as a liberal lawyer. Anyway, he was asked on Crowdsource the Truth, a little podcast with Jason Goodman, about this virus, about a vaccine. And I want to play you what Alan Dershowitz said. I want to have a discussion about the power of the government with this particular quote. Brent, if you could play cut five.
You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business.
If they decide you have to be vaccinated, we have to be vaccinated?
Absolutely. And if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm. If the vaccination
Where is that in the Constitution?
To prevent, if the vaccination is designed to prevent the spreading disease, public health, the police power of the Constitution gives the state the power to compel that. And there are cases in the United States Supreme Court.
Good wow. night.
So, Abe, you're our constitutional attorney. I can sit here all day and tell you what I think of that. And believe me, I'm not an anti-vaccination person. I'm just going to say, in my opinion, generally speaking, the science behind how vaccines work, I'm not a scientist, but that seems sound. It seems settled. To me, that's not the issue here. Alan Dershowitz, who's Harvard Law professor, you know, well-known. And
I'd like him on a lot of stuff he's said the last couple of years.
Me too. He just said, Abe, that under the policing powers of the United States, the federal government, and I guess probably state governments too, they have the right to drag you by force to a doctor and plunge a needle into your arm without your consent. Now, is that true?
No. I respect Alan Dershowitz, but he has the right to be wrong. You'll notice when the person who asked the question, he said, where's that in the Constitution? Alan Dershowitz didn't mention where that was in the Constitution.
He said it's public. It's in the name of public health.
But
he didn't cite a constitutional reference.
Right. So what can't you do in the name of public health? So, I mean, they can drag me down and go and make me get a flu shot. Tens of thousands of people die from the flu every year.
Right.
I mean, how far are we going to go with this? No. Yeah. And later, in additional comments in that interview, he went on to say, once a decision has been made concerning the reasonability of the need for the vaccine, the government coming in your home, snatching you up, taking you to some nondescript place, and shoving a needle in your arm is per se unreasonable. So I respect Mr. Dershowitz, but I respectfully disagree.
Well, and we don't do this with anything else.
No.
I mean, even with the current litany of vaccines and shots that that doctors give, the vast majority, the farthest you get to being required is in order to go to this public education facility or this daycare, then that entity then requires it.
Right.
But outside of that, and
that's
you
still voluntary.
That's voluntary because you don't have to go to the public education.
I mean,
you don't have to go to the child care facility.
I don't want to blur the discussion here, but maybe I'm not. I do completely agree with what Abe said and what you guys are saying. But I mean, when I was a kid, Ed probably remembers this. I don't know. How old are you?
39.
No, you wouldn't. I'm 57. You're
60.
Steve, what are you, 77?
60 last.
60.
Huh? 60 last month.
Oh, you're 60?
Yeah.
I missed about 17 years. Sorry, Steve.
That's okay. I know. I look and act like
you look more mature than
man.
You really are. No, I'm kidding, folks. Okay, so I remember when I was a kid, probably in elementary school, they marched us all into the library one day when school began. I mean, early on in the school semester is what I'm saying. And we pulled up our sleeve on our right shirt. I've probably still got it right here somewhere.
I got mine on my left. I think on my left.
Anyway, right or left, I don't remember, but they punched you. You remember the punch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They punched you with am I right? Kind of a gun.
Yep.
You remember this,
multiple,
Steve? Did you get this too in California?
I did, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, was it multiple? I knew it was smallpox.
Well, I think it was just a multiple vaccine.
Kind of a V8 of vaccines?
Kind of like the V8 of vaccines.
Okay, but anyway, we got it. I don't even remember anybody even, that was just, I don't even know if my parents had to consent. I don't even remember, but. Yeah, but I'm saying, now, what I'm saying is smallpox was stopped by a vaccine.
Right.
And smallpox was a killer.
Right. Right?
So.
If I could offer this.
There is some precedent in our country in the name of public health for vaccines being mandated.
Oh, diphtheria, whooping cough. I mean, I got all kinds of things.
Yeah, but
I still have my immunization.
But y'all are saying none of those had any consent?
Well,
to go to
public school, you had
to go to public school.
Yeah,
so,
that's how it is now.
Again,
yeah.
So that is still voluntary.
Right.
It's not compulsory.
Right.
That is a condition.
That's true. Okay.
I don't know of any.
There are none that are compulsory.
Medication that is compulsory.
And I don't want to let Alan Dershowitz off the hook so easily because the premise of that idea the public good, okay? And listen, I'm as in favor of the public good as anybody else.
You are, Ed. I know your heart.
I'm a public good person at heart.
You're good-hearted.
Yes. So where do you draw the lines? Because here we have heard these kinds of things with the Obamacare push, okay, where, yes, I've heard people, yes, everybody must get health insurance because if you don't, we all have to pay for you when you go into the hospital to get your heart surgery because you are morbidly obese. You see what I'm saying? So that's what Nancy Pelosi said about the president. So at what point, Abe, does this stop? I mean, at what point does the public good have to take a back seat to individual rights when there's all these people out there saying, yeah, but if you don't get this done, we all have to pay the price.
This is a textbook conversation as to why the U.S. Constitution was not adopted until the Bill of Rights was promulgated and ratified.
Mm-hmm.
The Bill of Rights exists to protect individual liberty. And so at best, you know, Alan Dershowitz, you know, he's just wrong.
Yeah.
At best, the government can require certain things in order to engage in public governmental things, public schools or things of that nature, but the government cannot come and snatch you out of your house and force a needle in your arm and say, oh, this is under the public good.
Right.
That is to be frank, and I was kind of mild earlier, but that's flat out dangerous and irresponsible for Alan Dershowitz to say so emphatically, because a lot of people listen to what he has to say and a lot of people respect him, but that is wrong. Mm-hmm. That is wrong.
You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of the program. It's Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. To make a gift to AFR, if you appreciate our programming and you want us to continue staying on the air in your community and other places, we need your help financially. That's just to lay it out plain and simple. So if you want to give to AFR, here's the phone number. And by the way, any gift now till noon Central Time goes towards that $75,000 matching gift, which was made available to us here at AFR, and we're thankful for that. Here's the phone number to reach us here is 877-616-2396. Again, that's 877-616-2396, or go to AFR.net, AFR.net. Let's hear a listener testimony, and then we'll go back to Steve.
My name is Michael Cahill. I'm calling from Bryan College Station, Texas. My freshman year of college, I went to Blaine College, and I started getting away from my faith, and right around the middle of my first year of college, I started listening to AFR in the mornings. I came across it, and it just gave me a constant source of conservative news. I was getting down because of all the news that's out there, fake news and everything, and it was really depressing. But then I started listening to AFR, and it just brightened my day, so I kept listening. I learned a bunch of financial things. I've been able to save money. I've been able to invest in some things because of Dan Celia in the morning. And then in the afternoon, I was able to listen. I was able to listen to Brian, and I started whipping out my Bible and sitting in the car and listening between classes. And I got into studying the Word again. By the time I was a sophomore and a junior, I was transferring to Sam Houston. I was in the car 3 hours a day, every single day, and I would listen to AFR. And then I started listening to podcasts, and then I started listening to the Bible. From the time of my sophomore year to the time of my senior year, and even now, I've gone through the Bible 8 times because AFR encouraged me to listen to the Word and not only be a listener but be a doer. Thank you so much for everything you've done.
That guy.
It's definitely a ministry that's blessed by God. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Wow.
Another great testimony.
Mm.
That's
eight times through the Bible?
Yeah. He was in the car because he was commuting to college.
Yeah.
Between his sophomore year, I think he said, and his senior year, he went through the Bible 8 times, but he was listening to podcasts and listening to the radio shows.
Who was that? That was what listener? He was from Texas, right? Okay. All right, Steve, go ahead.
I wanted to talk a little bit on Monday. Lawyers for the Democratic House Caucus, the Democrats in the House, were at the Supreme Court. And in that session, they asked for the Supreme Court for all the redacted grand jury material from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia probe. Why, you ask, do they need that? Because they told the justices that they are in the middle of a, quote, ongoing presidential impeachment investigation. This is their quote. If this material reveals new evidence supporting the conclusion that President Trump committed impeachable offenses that are not covered by the articles adopted by the House, the committee will proceed accordingly, including, if necessary, by considering whether to recommend new articles of impeachment. They don't stop.
Listen, you know, when President Trump was first elected and we all were throwing around Trump derangement syndrome, kind of, ha-ha, that's pretty funny, that's clever. You know, somebody invented that, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I believe it's a real thing now. I mean, I believe it is a real syndrome.
I think we need to drag people away, put them in a hospital, and shove a needle in their arm.
Yes.
And it ought to be mandatory.
Without any vaccine in it. I'm just in favor of shoving needles in their arms.
Yeah. Be careful that we don't. I don't want to advocate that. That sounds like you're advocating to maybe lethally inject them. I don't think we want to say that.
I
wasn't
Steve.
Saying lethal.
That's not what I was getting
Steve,
from.
Okay, I don't want them to be dead. I want them to be
syndrome.
Awake
wanna,
while we're sticking needles in their arms.
I want to consult with my attorney to make sure that we're on the right side of the
I say inject them with Lysol. See how they like that.
And Drano.
See how they like them apples.
Well, the shot could fix the syndrome, though. I think that's the goal.
Listen, this is, if the Democrats pull this stunt, and
you mean impeachment number 3?
Yes, and bring more articles of impeachment against the president. I think they are guaranteeing a whopping trouncing in the November elections
this
up and down the ballot.
This is a political idea.
Absolutely.
You win back the House. This would cause the Republicans, I predict, to win back the House, get at least 55 Senate seats, if not more. And another 4 years of a Trump administration.
If they win impeachment round three?
Yes.
Impeachment round three, I'm including the Mueller investigation as impeachment.
That was round one.
Round one.
Yeah.
And
they found and then when that failed.
The Ukrainian phone call.
That was the most boring phone call used for an impeachment.
That was impeachment two.
It was perfectly boring.
Yeah.
And this could be impeachment round three. Anyway.
Yeah, the Democrats, man, they're just not good at strategizing.
Well,
they've got Biden as their nominee.
Yeah.
Who's got geese honking in the background. Somebody's peeking around the door, and he can't get his video feed right in 2020.
That was just one.
One example of many. He gaffes all the time. And then
Have they introduced me already? Okay.
And then they want to pull the most unpopular move that they've done to date, impeachment, again.
Yeah.
Heading into the election.
And let's try it again.
I got a theory on why they're for lockdowns, the Democrats, and keeping the economy shut down, a lot of them. And I think it's a good strategy, especially in Delaware. I think they think, Steve, their chances of beating President Trump are better with Biden in the basement, which would probably be a funny sitcom if you could.
Biden in the basement.
Biden in the basement.
Been out on a debate stage.
Yeah. Watch ABC Friday nights. Biden in the basement.
I got to tell you, I just am imagining President. Perfect. I'm imagining a President Biden getting ready to pull the trigger and attack a belligerent nation, and the generals come to him, and his statement is, "What? Are we on? Are we ready? can we attack yet?"
No, Mr. Biden, President Biden, it's Iran we want to attack.
Oh.
Not Indonesia.
What? Do we have the geese, Brent?
Clip.
Do we still have the geese? Brent? That's worth hearing again. That's an instant classic.
This was when he was supposedly trying to make fun of
President Tweedy.
Trump, President Tweedy.
Is this Monday?
Yeah, well, we played it Monday on the show.
When did he? Well, we're trying to find that, but
we got a thumbs up from Brent.
That brought tears to my eyes the first time I heard it. But let's just to reset here, and folks, anybody can misspeak, anybody can fumble the numbers about something.
Right.
So that happens to all of us.
I do it 5 times a week.
Right. So in that regard, we're not making fun of former Vice President Joe Biden. But we know now that he does this often and regularly, and he's Captain Gaff, okay? He's written a book on it.
Captain Gaffy.
So, but this is not, this is just, he's at home, he's delivering a talk to somebody.
It's live.
They for some reason in his house they've thrown the doors open, this is what happens.
Why have they failed to get this money out to the folks who desperately need it to stay afloat? Is it incompetence? Corruption? Trump was out there tweeting again this morning. I called him President Tweety. Reopen the country. End of quote. How are we supposed to do that if you're sitting on the money small businesses need in order to stay alive? Stop tweeting about it. Get the money out to Main Street now. It's there. It's been passed. This pandemic is hitting everyone hard. We need serious, competent leadership now more than ever.
You couldn't do a Saturday Night Live skit that's any funnier than that right there. Huh? That's a self-parody.
Yes. Whatever aide said, let's open the doors for this.
I know. Probably doesn't he needs to be fired. Anymore.
Was this the live thing where somebody walked behind the president as well?
The very same.
Yeah.
So a mystery man. Was that a Secret Service guy?
Oh, no. That was the guy going to close the doors.
Well, he didn't get there soon enough. At some point, Steve, Biden referenced the geese, didn't he?
I think he said, and I didn't pull this bit of audio when I pulled that other clip, but yeah, he said the geese are cheering now what we're saying or something similar.
Oh, he did. He did reference
them. Well, he did reference them, yeah.
I tell you what I found offensive, because I'm a person that's very sensitive about multiculturalism. And when he blamed that noise making we just heard on, quote, Canadian geese. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There?
We need to get Fred back in here to comment on that.
If I were a Canadian, I would find that highly offensive.
Because because the loud, boisterous geese that just ruined my life thing had to be Canadian.
Had to be Canadian.
Had to be Canadian.
Like other geese from around the world couldn't do the same thing were they here.
That's right.
You put
Indian geese?
Cambodian geese?
French geese?
I got Cambodian geese in my backyard. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what. But anyway, we'll be back momentarily.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here in Washington, D.C., and the host of Washington Watch, heard here on AFR. I want to encourage you to support AFR during this share-a-thon. I've seen firsthand the profound influence that American Family Association and American Family Radio have had here in our nation's capital. I believe America is stronger because of the labors of Don Wildman and now Tim Wildman and the entire AFR team. I'm proud to partner with them, and I challenge you to do the same during this share-a-thon. May God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi, my name is Kaylin. I'm calling from Virginia. I listen to and from work and occasionally during lunch breaks. And approximately 3 weeks ago, on my way home, I was having such a bad anxiety attack regarding some issues going on in my life with my son. And I called in, and I was blessed enough to speak with Alex and Bert. And not only did they answer questions that I didn't even ask out loud regarding prodigal son and some issues, but they prayed with me. It was just a calming peace that I needed just to make it home. And I thank you guys so much for all that you do. Bringing
awakening. It's Spring Share-a-thon on American Family Radio. Bring an awakening. Call 877-616-2396 and make your pledge during Share-a-thon on American Family Radio.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues. We are in the last half hour of our Share-a-thon match. $75,000, Ed. What are we doing here?
Absolutely. $75,000. I don't know who gave that money, but it's either one or several, and what they intend for that money to do.
We're going
to
dox them.
Yeah. No, we're not going to dox them.
No, that'd be counterproductive.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
Is they give that money so that we can challenge those who are listening here during Share-a-thon, and whatever gift you give up for in the next half hour till noon Central Time, your gift is doubled. Because it comes out, that doubling of your gift comes out of that $75,000. Here's the number to call if you would like to give to our Share-a-thon. Now, folks, we only do this 3 days in the spring and 3 days in the fall. We don't bother you on the radio for money, every day asking you. 3 days in the spring, 3 days in the fall. The number to call to give to Share-a-thon is 877-616-2396. Bring an awakening is our theme from Romans 13:11. 877-616-2396. Now, Tim, if I could, I'd like to let folks know what we kind of call our premiums. If you give here during Share-a-thon with a one-time donation of $150 or more, you will receive the Hilarious Highlights Volume 6. That is kind of a best of from Trivia Friday, Learning University. That is a CD for a one-time donation of $150 or more. If you give a monthly gift of $30 or more, we really encourage folks to give monthly if they can. You will not only receive the Hilarious Highlights Volume 6, you will also get the Bring an Awakening T-shirt, which is very nice T-shirt, dark charcoal gray with Bring an Awakening and the AFR logo. That is the theme of our Share-a-thon. 877-616-2396 is the number to call.
And if you go to our website, you can not only can you donate at our website, afr.net, but you can see the premiums or the resources that we're offering there, the T-shirt and the Hilarious Highlights CD. You can visualize those both at our website, afr.net, along with donating.
Steve?
I wanted to follow up. I wanted to do some cleanups, some house cleaning. We talked yesterday about Nancy Pelosi, who kind of was fat-shaming the president, calling him morbidly obese. There's been a lot of people kind of talking back and coming up and saying that that wasn't quite appropriate.
What wasn't appropriate?
When Nancy Pelosi, I'm going to play this clip, and you're going to hear what Nancy Pelosi said about the president. She was expressing deep personal concern that he's taking hydroxychloroquine and says he shouldn't do that, and she'll tell you why. But a lot of people have been kind of criticizing Nancy for it, but nobody really came down on Nancy the way Tucker Carlson did. This is cut 7.
He's our president, and I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved by the scientist, especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say.
Not only is Trump taking an immoral pharmaceutical, but he's fat. Morbidly obese is how Pelosi put it. Now, we make on this show a real effort not to mock people for how they look. It isn't always easy, but we really do try. Nancy Pelosi should try, too. Why? Well, here's a recent picture of Nancy Pelosi. She turned 80 years old in March. Does she look 80? No. But we would remind the Speaker of the House that people with glass faces should not throw stones.
That, whoever came up with that on his staff probably needs
a fruit basket or something.
Something.
That's... People with glass faces should not throw stones. Oh, my goodness. Now, I don't necessarily approve of that, but that was funny.
Well, Nancy Pelosi started it.
Yeah.
Yes, she did. She did.
To the party who's...
The Democrats and the media always... they want to act indignant when President Trump says something like Pelosi has mental problems, which he did in response to her fat-shaming him.
Is that what he said? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he said. Yeah, I think he said she had mental problems, didn't he?
Yes,
he did. Yeah, Michelle Obama says they go low and we go high, but not all Democrats follow that rule.
No.
I think what she meant was they go low, we go junior high.
Yeah.
Which is listen.
Low. Nicely put, Steve.
The barbs and the name-calling go both ways, and so the Democrats do that. You know, as I said, Hillary Clinton called Trump voters... deplorables.
Basket of deplorables.
Basket of
and incorrigible. Can't be irredeemable. Yeah, irredeemable. That's right.
Irredeemable. Irredeemable. When look up the word deplorable. What does it mean? So she can say that. That's prior to Trump even being elected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me just say this.
And she's supposed to have statesmanship.
Yes. You know? Politics can be a really dirty business. For those of you who, you know, enjoy history, you should go back and read about some of the things that happened in our very own House of Representatives when the nation was very young. They got in fistfights on the floor of the House of Representatives. So this, this is nasty between Pelosi
both
and Trump.
Sides can dish it.
Yeah, so...
But one side's act like they you're just aghast at what President Trump said today. That's just not presidential.
Yes. Yeah.
President Tweedy.
And then they do the same thing against him,
right?
And against people who support him all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember Bill Maher, you know, the lefty, you know, social commentator. He representative of liberals, and he makes fun of people between New York and L.A. And he did have one funny line though, Bill Maher. He's a godless man, but he said he named some famous chef they had in New York. He was just saying how better they are in New York and the Northeast and in Los Angeles than we out here in the hinterland are.
Yeah.
And he said, we got chef and whatever the famous last name of the chef was. He said, and what do you people have? You got Chef Boyardee. So That was funny.
By the way, I just got a text from somebody who did not understand. Steve, I'm going to allow you to explain. Did not understand Tucker Carlson's wisecrack about Nancy Pelosi. People with glass faces shouldn't throw stones. You may have to explain that to some of our listeners.
Well, if you've been noticing, if you've been watching any of the newscasts lately when Nancy Pelosi does a press conference or whatever, you could tell that she's had a little work done, let's say. What used to be her cheek is now her ear. I'll just, you know.
Are we talking Botox?
Which is actually...
I don't know. I think it's more along the facelift genre. But I don't want to criticize someone who does that. I don't even want to criticize her for doing it. She is a public person in front of the cameras all the time. But
you've done what?
Facelifting.
I can't tell.
That is hurtful, Walker.
Oh, man. Only the love of a son.
That is hurtful to speak of your father.
I saw an opportunity.
To speak of your father that way. Actually, I haven't done facelifting.
I know, that's why I made the joke.
I haven't done facelifting because after I saw what happened to Kenny Rogers, I am not going full-on spaceman.
The surprise gambler.
It can go wrong. It can go wrong, and there's no reversing it then.
Well, that kind of surgery is apparently pretty common in Washington amongst
politicians. What, facelifting? Joe Biden,
just any
good.
Any kind of facial change surgery, because Joe Biden, I mean, we've all seen the pictures. I think Hillary Clinton, too, where they go from wrinkly to not wrinkly.
What's
overnight.
The deal? We're getting off track here, but yeah. I just got to ask, since we're on cosmetic surgery, which is definitely related to Share-a-thon. I gotta ask, and if you guys don't know the answer to this, we'll just move on here. And maybe Steve does. He studies a lot of peripheral issues.
Some say that's all I do.
What is the deal with the eyes with these people who have cosmetic surgery?
With the eyes?
Yeah, they slant their eyes.
I think that has to do with Botox injections.
Oh, is that Botox?
Yeah, it paralyzes, doesn't it, Steve? Like temporarily paralyze some of the your muscles.
It paralyzes muscles that and it relieves wrinkles. But I think when the eyes start slanting, the way that you do a facelift is that basically, if you were to put your hands on either side of your face, like on your cheeks, pull back so that you're widening your face. That's kind of what a facelift does, and it takes away wrinkles.
Where do the wrinkles go then?
They're just stretched out, and they cut off the skin
back
in the
of
back.
Your head.
Excess skin.
The back of your head. Is that why the eyes look slanted?
I think that's why.
Maybe that's right. Now, I will say this does have a lot to do with Share-a-thon because the average cost of cosmetic surgery is $75,000.
Get us out of here, Ed.
$75,000 is the match that we have, the challenge, a $75,000 challenge. Folks, only for about another 16 minutes can you double your gift.
Don't be vain. Don't be vain, people.
That's right.
That money you was going to spend on the facelift,
you can
help American Family Radio.
That's correct. 877-616-2396. Come on, folks. That was genius, wasn't it?
Probably need a cue Carly
Simon. Good transition.
877.
Need a cue Carly Simon right now.
877-616-2396 is the number to call to give to our Bring an Awakening Spring Share-a-thon here at American Family Radio. And, folks, let me just remind you that the reason you are listening to American Family Radio today, Wednesday, May 20th, is because somebody gave to our fall Share-a-thon to keep this ministry on the air.
All right, again, the phone number to reach us to make your gift is 877-616-2396. Next story, Steve.
We've been hearing about some complaints that the president fired the inspector general over at the State Department. Of course, Democrats are looking at this as him trying to sweep something under the rug. Joe Biden was asked about this, and this was on Yahoo News, and I looked in vain for the name of this reporter, but
shut the doors?
The doors were shut.
Okay.
It was the reporter's basement, I guess.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. So anyway, he asked Joe Biden about whether he would pledge to not fire any inspector general during his tenure. This is cut 6.
Would you pledge right now that you will not fire any inspectors general if you are president?
Yes, yes. The idea, inspector generals were designed to make government honest. You know, it's part of a troubling pattern since this whole COVID crisis began. Trump firing nonpartisan officials, firing oversight, have oversight roles created by Congress. I mean, come on.
I've got to point out that early in his term, President Obama fired the AmeriCorps Inspector General, Gerald Walpin, who was reportedly investigating one of his political supporters. In retrospect, was that a mistake?
I don't recall that, but I tell you what, I don't ever remember the president deciding that somebody being investigated was inappropriate.
We can Trump, you know, with Joe Biden, when he says he doesn't recall something, I think that's probably fair game.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't remember that. I mean, talking about 9 years ago and some guy in a low level agency. I didn't even know the agency you just said, the news guy. So I probably, if I was Biden, I wouldn't remember
I'd
that either.
I'd say fake news.
But this does bring up a similar point that President Obama went over four years without having an inspector general in the State Department.
You know why that was.
Before this guy who was just fired by Trump was put into place by Obama.
Was that why, when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State?
Correct. The entire tenure of Hillary Clinton's Secretary
of
State.
Captain Obvious will tell you right here why that happened. Hillary Clinton put that server in her bathroom at her home so she could do State Department business, and she wouldn't have to answer to Congress for her actions. She could hide it. So you certainly don't want an inspector general being in the department that can discover that Hillary Clinton is trying to hide her work from congressional oversight.
Right.
So that makes perfect sense why Obama allowed there not to be an inspector general during that.
Yeah, the State Department lost one of the IGs under George W. Bush, resigned in December of 2007, right before President Obama took office, and they did not. President Obama did not replace him until 2013.
Yeah, just couldn't get around to that, huh? In 4 years. All right, Steve. Next story.
Yeah, just to close up, put a period on that last one. I think I will refer back to a New York Post headline that said, "What did Biden know, and when did he forget it?"
Actually a country song,
right?
Huh?
You've been brutal today, Steve.
I know. Well, I think I'm going to preview what may be the next Biden gaffe.
Uh-huh.
You guys have been watching what's been going on with this coronavirus thing, and one of the states
the what virus?
Coronavirus thing. We're calling it a thing now. It's the pandemic.
I don't drink beer.
States are starting to push back. Residents in states are starting to push back and protest. And one of the states where they're getting the biggest pushback is in Michigan. Well, Governor Gretchen Whitmer there indicated yesterday that she has been contacted by the Biden campaign to begin a vetting process for her becoming the vice presidential candidate with Joe Biden. I can't see anything going wrong there.
Well, and because former Vice President Joe Biden said that he promised that for his vice presidential selection, it would be a woman.
Yeah.
So or at least somebody that identified.
Or somebody who identified as a woman. So her first name is Gretchen Whitmer.
Gretchen.
Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, certainly been in the news a lot. Listen. I'm just going to say it sometimes looks like the Democrats, I have no idea what's going to happen in November, but it looks like the Democrats are intent on self-destructing.
Yeah.
If they reopen more hearings on impeachment, and if Vice President Joe Biden picks Gretchen Whitmer, who is probably going to lose the state of Michigan for Joe Biden.
Right.
This is more self-destruction.
Yeah, she's becoming widely unpopular, even in Michigan, where she was elected to the governor's office because of her tyrannical-type edicts that she's putting forth from the governor's office, keeping Michigan locked down indefinitely, even though Michigan is hardly having a problem when it comes to coronavirus. So, yeah, that would be a bad move for Biden if he wants to win Michigan.
Steve, I think you mentioned, somebody mentioned during our story meeting, the lady who cuts hair in Dallas.
Yes.
Who just courageously reopened up her salon because she had to make money, and there was a whole thing that went. She actually went to Michigan, didn't she?
She did.
To stand with the barber up there?
She did. She went up there and lent her support. Of course, I'm trying to pull up her name. It's in the back of my mind. It's not coming to me right now. But this Dallas hairdresser was the one that said in front of a judge, "Your Honor, I understand that you say I can't open my..."
Shelley Luther.
She said, I understand, Judge, that you say I can't open my salon, but I need to feed my family. My stylists need to feed their family. So throw me in jail if you want, but I am not shuttering my business anymore. And I think that caught the imagination of a lot of people. There was a similar case up in Michigan, and Shelley Luther went up there to support that older stylist.
That shows you, the point I'm making here, is that shows you that Michigan and Governor Whitmer are front and center in terms of being like the lightning rod, well, at least one of the lightning rods for this pushback against heavy-handed government shutdowns. Here you have, Shelley Luther, you said her name was? She goes up to Michigan because everybody has heard about what this 77-year-old barber has gone through, where Governor Whitmer, out of spite, took this man's, this barber's license away because this is a guy who's been cutting hair for 50 years. This would be a disaster for Joe Biden, and I say, go ahead, Joe, do it.
Yeah, and if I were the Trump campaign and Biden does pick the Michigan governor, I would bring on the barber from Michigan on my campaign as a spokesperson.
Right.
Absolutely.
And he could double as your personal hair.
There you go.
Cutter. You're listening to Share-a-thon. We got 8 minutes left. Walker, what's going on here these last 8 minutes?
Yes, this is our spring Share-a-thon. The theme is Bring an Awakening out of Romans 13. And here's the number to call in. What you do as you help us stay on the air by supporting the Ministry of American Family Radio. The number to call in and donate is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. You can also visit our website, AFR.net, to donate online.
And your gift is doubled because of this $75,000
match. That's right, for the next 8 minutes, right?
Doubled. Absolutely. I'm serious, Clark.
Doubled.
$75,000, a challenge. Whatever gift you give the next 7.5 minutes is doubled. Folks, this is a great opportunity to see your gift increased. Steve, but only till noon Central Time.
Sir,
go ahead.
I just wanted to, let's just put a period on that last one. I'm getting this breaking news from our friends over at the Babylon Bee. So we take this very seriously and sarcastically and spoofily. But state governors are fleeing in terror as hairstylists wielding shears are leading mass uprisings.
I don't even understand what that meant. What? Say that again?
Barbers with scissors are coming after governors, and their governors are scared.
It's getting violent.
Yes.
Okay.
The other thing is
Babylon
that we're finding out that states are urging people to hit the gym and tanning salons before they go to the beach. That is a public service to all.
Babylon Bee is a satirical website, so these are not true stories, but they sure are funny.
Well, and you know, some of the true stories out of these blue states almost seem satirical.
Yes, like, they are.
Is it true that Mayor de Blasio of New York has closed down the beaches in his jurisdiction but told people they can go to the beach in Long Island or something like that?
I haven't heard that, but
I don't know. But
go to New Jersey if you want to go to the beach or somewhere like that.
Yeah, I know we covered the story on him telling people not to swim in the salt water.
Right.
They can go to the beach, but they can't get in the water.
Or they just send the police to drag them out.
I would pay for that show.
Yes.
Right there. You know, real cops?
Yes.
The real cops of New York or whatever?
What you going to do when they come for you?
Yeah, I would pay.
Swimming,
wet
really.
Boys, wet boys.
That would be great. Get like
wet
20 people.
Wet boys, I like it.
Get like 20 people to go dive in the ocean and just watch the sheriff's department have to get their all their outfits all wet.
NYPD coming for you.
I don't know, man. I don't want to make a cop that mad.
I don't see Danny Reagan doing that. Or
Danny Reagan?
Huh? Blue Bloods.
Blue Bloods.
Oh, Blue Bloods. Oh, yeah, yeah, the Reagans, yeah.
Any of the Reagan family doing that right there. All right, next, Steve, you got five minutes.
All right, let's talk about David and Emily Shantz. They're a family out of Caroline County, Virginia. They were driving down the road, and as a good public service, they stopped when they saw a couple bags of trash in the middle of the road. So they just, it was kind of a busy road. They went and they threw it in the back of the pickup, and they kept driving. They got home ready to throw it away, and they found $1 million in cash in those bags.
Where is this?
This is in Virginia. This is in Caroline County, Virginia.
So they were just going to be good Samaritans by somebody drop trash. We'll pick it up, keep America beautiful.
Right.
When they got home, they looked at it. It was $1 million in cash.
$1 million in cash.
I saw the story today.
What did they do? They called the sheriff's office to turn it in.
Bad move.
Oh.
Hey, I got a little nursery rhyme for that right there.
Okay.
Finders.
All right. There you go, Walker.
Finders.
I don't even know if that's a nursery rhyme, but it sounds like one. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers.
Now, the police have some idea. I remember reading this, Steve. Have some idea of where this money probably came from?
I think there was a sign or some note with the money that it was cash vault. Inside the bag, there were plastic baggies that were addressed with something that said cash vault. So I think I don't know. Like they might be tracking it down.
Are you telling me this was a plastic bag in the road?
That's what it was.
Like a hefty bag?
Yes, I believe it was.
Who stops and picks up a hefty bag? I don't know about this story.
You think that sounds a little...
I don't know about this story.
Who picks up trash and puts it in their truck, back of their pickup?
Yeah, and takes it home and opens it up.
Well, that's true.
Huh?
Well, you know...
Hey, see if there's any spaghetti left in this bag.
I think I might to see if it, you know, maybe it was a bag of clothes or something.
They could have noticed how heavy it was.
It would have been very heavy, $1 million of cash, assuming it was in like 20s and 100s.
I don't know, whenever I carry $1 million worth of cash, it's not that heavy.
Yeah.
You know, this may be an ethical problem, but do you see anything wrong with taking like a 10% cut?
I don't see.
I only found $900,000 worth of cash.
And who's counting this?
Well,
you know how long it takes to count $1 million.
Well, I guess
cash?
if it's some innocent person,
I did.
If it's some innocent person's cash,
yeah, you got to turn it in.
That lost their $1 million. They
coming home from
an
honest visit to the ATM,
right?
Yeah.
Who does that? $1 million.
Right. I mean, can you imagine being high behind the guys getting $1 million out of the ATM?
I would be
you're
afraid.
Talking probably 3 or 4 hours. You're waiting in line. Now, I'm not a honker, but I will Canadian geese honk you if you're going to be 3 hours in the ATM line.
Because with my luck, after they got done, I'd walk up there. Sorry, this machine is out of
here. Yeah, it would be.
What? I know. Let me just tell you this. When I read this story this morning, my first thought was I would be worried that it was drug money.
Yeah.
And that somebody's going to somehow trace it back to me.
Right.
Yeah, I got it under my mattress. Yeah.
Well, what do you do with $1 million of cash? You can't put it in the bank without the government coming and asking a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah, you got to turn it in. The only way you're going to be able to spend that money is to make sure you go 30 days, nobody claims it.
I'd be going out to a lot of dinners at very expensive restaurants.
Not me. I'd buy more Hawaiian shirts.
We all have our priorities.
Yeah.
Steve's is hedonism, it appears.
Gluttony, I think.
Gluttony. Is it gluttony? Okay.
Gluttony, it's Ed's is hedonism.
All right. I would donate it to Share-a-thon.
There you go.
Walker, that was good virtue signaling right there.
Yes, it was.
We approve of that. Okay.
Well, we're going to hold you to it if you find $1 million worth of cash.
I don't know about this story. There's more to come on that one. All right, Steve, thank you.
You bet.
Thanks to the rest of the panel here. We'll see you next time, folks. Keep listening to AFR.